Welcome to Love It or Leave It. I'm on vacation edition. As we speak, a pool boy is waterfalling pina colada into my mouth. Jesus, Brian. And the rest of the team is at home in their crate. They were averse to crate training at first, but I find it really helps with the separation anxiety. But before I dose them with Benadryl and turn off the lights, Love It or Leave It crew assembled a little best up for you. As I've said many times, this show is incredibly popular, and most of my guests feel honored to receive the invite. There is a minority of guests, however, who might not be familiar with the show or familiar with me, or they might just not care, and they make that incredibly clear. So here you have it, the best of guests commandeering the show. First up, did she not get the assignment, or did she just choose not to follow it? It's Gay News with Abby McEnany.
Everywhere we take this show, we do our part to make that place a little bit gayer. Luckily, Chicago, you're doing most of the heavy lifting. Joining us now for a special deep dish installment of Gay News, welcome back to the show, Abby McEnany.
Hi,
Abby.
What's up, Joe?
How you doing? Good to see you again.
Oh, my God. Good to see you, too. And also, I just got in trouble for being too loud backstage. It's like we're back in public again. I got in trouble.
Abby, thank you for being here.
John, I'm very honored to be here with you tonight.
Now, typically with Gay News, we say, but up, up, but up, but up, 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 Gay News together. But because we're in Chicago, we're going to please join me in saying,
but up, 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 up,
the Bears.
The Bears.
Exactly. Are you ready?
Born ready, motherfucker. Yes.
But up, up, but up, but up, 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 up,
the Bears.
Raven's Home, which is set in Chicago, made history with Disney Channel's first trans character, Nikki, played by actress Juliana Joel and introduced in an episode written by trans comedian Nori Reid. Okay, I take back all the stuff I said, Disney. This is good. You're doing solid post-LeFou work.
But up,
the Bears.
President Biden last week awarded soccer player Megan Rapinoe the Presidential Medal of Freedom, the nation's highest civilian honor. Do you know how good you have to be at soccer to make Americans give a fuck? The woman should get a cabinet position.
But up, up, but up, and up, the Bears.
Duh, Red Stars.
What do they do?
It's a Chicago's female soccer team.
Okay.
You know, keeping it local.
Got to keep it local. She said receiving the medal was the honor of a lifetime, or in other words, it was her lifetime goal. The Red Stars. NASA's release of spectacular new images from the James Webb Space Telescope has reignited calls to rename the telescope, which currently honors a former NASA administrator involved in the Lavender Scare of the 1950s when the Truman administration purged LGBTQ employees from the federal government. Oh, what a twisted James Webb we weave.
The
Bears. The Red Stars.
I mean, seriously. So I was like, found out about the Lavender Menace. I'm like, that would be the fucking ballerest nickname in the world. So like, I'd be at work. I'm like, somebody would say something. I'd be like, classic Lavender Menace. It never picked up. It didn't stick.
I think it's a great thing to have you be called when you're not there. Like, hey, wait a second. Where's the Lavender Menace? You know?
It would be like, hey, where's that bitch who wants us to call her the Lavender Menace? It would be more like that. Hey, you know the one who's hitting us over the head with that nickname we don't want to honor her with? Oh,
the Red Stars.
The Bear, okay.
You're doing so good.
You're doing so good. Oh my gosh. Okay. Woo. Reset.
We're not resetting. We're just powering through.
Oh. Yeah, not my forte. Okay. The Montana State Library Commission voted against a proposed logo for the Montana State Library over concerns that its prism design looked too much like a pride flag. Yeah, we wouldn't want to compromise the raw heterosexual energy of the public library.
We need to keep the library what it's always been, a place for red-blooded straight men to get together with their bros and quietly read.
The Bears. We're calling that now. And quietly read.
Nintendo Japan announced that it will provide equal benefits to employees in same-sex unions, even though same-sex marriage is banned by Japanese law. All employees will have to hit a block with their heads in order to receive their coins.
Bears.
You will never stop coming on this show till the day I die.
Okay, but it's...
You can do no wrong to me.
It's going to be the shows that you are, like, out of the country
on. Yeah, the guest-hosted ones.
They're like, hey, we have a guest host.
Enjoy Guy.
My mailman.
And, enjoy Gay News with Guy Branum.
Okay, what's he like? He seems like a delight.
We got to keep going.
Okay, yeah, I swear.
Read this. Just read what's on your card.
Honestly,
read it out loud. You're a newsreader. You're an anchor. Let's go.
The right-wing Christian group, 1 million moms, nickname in college. Nuh-uh. Okay.
Sounds great.
Okay.
See, that's why it's all worth it. That's why we buy a ticket.
Okay. The right-wing Christian group, 1 million moms, has called for a boycott of Disney's new Marvel movie, Thor, Love and Thunder, complaining that it includes many LGBTQ innuendos and an abundance of euphemisms. Perhaps they'll prefer the sequel I'm working on, Thor, no innuendo, just queer fucking. Yeah. Okay.
Ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba-ba-da-bear.
The cubs?
In a Deadline interview, Jane Lynch insisted that she wasn't deliberately avoiding working with Lea Michele in Funny Girl. I adore her. She's just going to take the show and make it her own. I'm so glad she's getting the opportunity in real life to do the show and not just on Glee, said Lynch, clearly reading from an egregiously misspelled blackmail letter. Can't get enough. It's wrong. But up, 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 the Bears.
I when I got this, I wrote a smiley face. That is so funny. Okay. Lynch also received an Emmy nomination for Outstanding Guest Actress in a Comedy Series for her role in Hulu's Only Murders in the Building, where she plays Steve Martin's character's stunt double. Martin Short's stunt double, Tom Cruise, was oddly overlooked. I'm angry. Democratic nominee for Illinois' 17th congressional district, Eric Sorensen, would be the first meteorologist in the U.S. House in nearly 50 years and Illinois' first elected LGBTQ congressperson ever. I mean, it is so awesome. There's still a lot of places in this country where it can still be very challenging to come out of the closet as a meteorologist.
It's raining men, he said in tonight's forecast. Hallelujah.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba!
The
I'm
Bears.
Loving it. Oh, the Bears!
I'm loving it.
We don't know.
It's not McDonald's.
Wait.
Fuck.
Okay, wait.
In May, Taco Bell did a series of drag brunches in major cities, including Chicago, hosted by Quesadilla as part of their Live Mas Pride label. It's a nice gesture, but they shouldn't have scheduled it for brunch. It obviously should have been drag fourth meal. I'm loving it.
Okay. Demi Lovato, wearing a wig with bangs, said on Jimmy Kimmel Live that they hit their forehead on a large amethyst crystal and had to get 3 stitches. You gotta keep your healing crystals separate from your wounding crystals. I've seen this happen too many times. Why do you think I'm still single? Ba-da-da-da-da! Da! White Sox!
Earlier this summer, Jussie Smollett sat down for his first interview since his release from jail on Sway in the Morning, where he claimed he didn't know about the backlash to his stage attack until a full year after it happened. I'm sorry, but I'm starting to think this guy might have a trouble telling the truth. But
that's truth telling. And finally, Chicago is home to the Leather Archives and Museum, a museum dedicated, to leather, kink, fetish, and BDSM history and culture.
And a fantastic little cafe, if you can figure out how to get some of that latte around the ball gag. And that's gay news.
I'm a huge fan. Thank you so much.
Abby McEnany, the best.
Abby McEnany is an American treasure. She's like if extreme weather took corporeal form. Next up, I talked to a hot straight man about virginity. How did I think it would go? Here's Jake McDormand.
Our next guest joining us on Sage stars in the new Peacock show, Mrs. Davis, which features Betty Gilpin as a nun. That was enough for us to go with our next segment. Welcome to the Sage, Jake McDormand. Hi.
Hey.
Thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks for having
me. First of all, let me just say something. I love Mrs. Davis.
I do too.
It's
thanks,
so
man.
Good.
Thank you.
It's like, and people have tried to tell me what it is. And it's like The Matrix. You can't explain it. You have to see it for yourself.
It's really hard, yeah.
How would you describe it in one sentence?
How dare you? Yeah, you said that in your opening segment. You're like, impossible to describe. How dare you attack me with such a hard-hitting question right off the bat?
You must have done a press tour. I worked on your sentence.
One sentence. Oh, God. Let's see. I'm gonna do it in 5 sentences.
Okay.
Is that fine?
Sure. There's no rules.
Okay, let's see. By the way, they told me to say as close as humanly possible to you, or you'd go apeshit. Is that right? I'm as close to you as I can possibly get without breaching the arm.
Thank you.
Okay. That's just that they warned me.
Yep.
Okay.
That's it. I love sitting close to people.
All right, back on topic. We're talking about Mrs. Davis. Oh, God. So Mrs. Davis, let's see. It takes place in an alternate future not unlike our own. This is going to be so many sentences, it's John. Really, I'm so sorry.
No, you're doing great.
Okay. Not unlike our own, where a seemingly benevolent algorithm named Mrs. Davis has risen to levels of ubiquity globally for ending world hunger and solving all the wars and the famine and the climate change and all those things by way of an app. And my character, Wiley, stick with me, is an ex-bull rider and the ex-boyfriend of a nun named Simone, played by the cosmic force of nature that is Betty Gilpin. Are you guys Betty Gilpin fans? Okay. You should be Betty Gilpin fans. She's fucking amazing. And we decide to take her down because we think she's up to some nefarious doings. John, this is hard.
No,
you're a speechwriter.
You did it. I was.
Why would you do this to me?
I'm sorry. And are you a virgin, Jake?
I'm not.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
It's cool if you were. I mean,
No,
it's fine to say.
This would be exactly where I'd want to admit it if I was. I couldn't think of a better venue than on a stage with a bunch of people.
Do you think that America is willing to elect a virgin president? And again, he may not be a virgin. He may have fucked. We don't know for sure. And there's nothing wrong if he has or hasn't. That's the thing.
That's
how I feel about it.
Yeah. Sure, why not? Maybe that'd be a great thing for us. Who knows? By the way, we're going with... The show's about a nun, and we're going virgin because Virgin Mary, nun...
Yeah, that's the connection.
I got it. Okay,
that's all we've got.
Okay.
She plays a nun.
Yes.
And nuns, they are abstemious from sex.
Correct, yes.
That's my recollection. I'm Jewish, but that's what I know about nuns.
That's what I've read, too.
Basically from Sister Act.
Yeah, that's... That is the only, that's the whole nun background that I had going into this job as Sister Act.
I feel like you dodged the question. Would America vote for a virgin president? No, it's okay.
Is that really? Yes. I think there would be a very small section of the conservative right that would love that, right? Mom, sit down.
It's funny, right? Because on some level, I think culturally, we all believe single people are fucking freaks.
Yeah, okay.
Do you think the concept of virginity is strange? It's like, what if you weren't considered someone who's been in a pool until your whole body had been in a pool?
Wait, I don't follow. Break that down a little bit for me.
Moving on.
What? No. Do you want me to sit closer?
No, this is good. I'm good with this level of closeness. When you were cast in Mrs. Davis, did you know about it?
Mrs. Davis?
Did you know that it was just like from The Lost Guy and The Young Sheldon Lady, or did you have details?
I had like a script, yeah. No, yeah. There was I mean, I knew about it. My introduction to Mrs. Davis was my audition for Mrs. Davis.
Cool.
Yeah. No.
It's funny, too. You're funny in it. You're very good in the show.
Thank you, man.
It's a great show.
It's a fun show.
It's Peacock's best kept secret.
Yeah.
And Peacock is America's best kept streaming secret.
Oh, God, that's sadly so true. Hey, Peacock's doing some cool stuff, man. Poker Face is good, too.
Hey,
yeah.
Peacock. It's the thing NBC decided to call their streaming service. Because we all grew up with Peacock mascots because we all loved NBC growing up. We all loved the Peacock. We'd all say, hey, are you guys going to check out the Peacock tonight?
Yeah. Who among us hasn't gone as the NBC Peacock for Halloween?
Are you afraid of AI?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I'm dabbling with it like everyone else is right now.
Are you doing some dabbling?
Doing a little dabbling.
You make any art?
I am, embarrassingly.
Cool.
Yeah. Do you know what it is?
Yeah, I do.
I had them, it, whatever we call it.
100% it.
It's an it. I had it put my mom's cat on horseback like Napoleon in the style of a Vermeer oil painting.
Hell yeah.
It was incredibly good.
How was that? That's cool.
It's good. I'm going to get it blown up for her birthday, probably.
Neat.
Yeah. But that's where it stops. I'm done after this.
Dutch? Vermeer.
Oh, yeah. Virgin?
I don't know if Vermeer fucked or not. I don't know. Yeah. He paints a lot of hands. That leads me to think yes.
This is not...
You know what I mean?
They're getting such a good idea of what the show's about.
Yeah. There's also, in the show, you blow up a horse.
I do, yeah, yeah.
Did they kill a real horse, or was that the magic of Hollywood?
Yeah, no, that was a real horse.
Oh,
we went
that's
for
a
it.
Bummer. That's oh, a bummer. No, no, that's sorry. A bummer. People are going to be fucking pissed. Remember that HBO show killed all those horses?
Oh, my God, yeah. What was that, Luck?
Luck.
Luck.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, and everyone's like, this is too boring to kill horses. As previously mentioned, the connecting...
we earn our horse death. In our
yeah,
show.
It's so entertaining. Yeah, yeah, it's like, honestly, if that's a real horse, okay, maybe
it
sacrifice
worth it. Itself.
Maybe worth it because it's fucking, this is a ride. I'm like, luck, there's a lot of blah, blah, blah.
Right, right.
Tough hit on luck.
Luck.
As previously mentioned, the connecting thread of this segment is tenuously thin, just like the concept of virginity itself. Jake, are you ready to answer questions about virginity and the virgins who have never had sex?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Jake. Now it's time for a game we're calling... Save yourself for this quiz.
Oh, my God.
According to a study, what percentage of college students don't consider oral genital contact a virginity loss?
Oh, my God. We're looking for a percentage?
A percentage. They don't count it.
Yeah, I was going to say, who said 99? I'm going to go with somewhere in the 90s.
It's lower. It's only 60%.
Oh, okay.
40% count it.
Oh, my God. Everyone's so disappointed.
What a weird thing to feel like you have a dog in the fight
I
of.
I know.
In 2012, what did 36-year-old virgin Trent Arsenault make national news for doing? That is impossible.
Oh, my God. Listen, I have to say, I'm going to try my best at this quiz, but I'm not too bummed if I'm not a virgin expert. It just sounds, like saying it out loud sounds probably, like Jake McDormand, actor, virgin expert.
Better to be...
It's like hey, what an incel puts on their resume.
Better to be a virgin expert than an expert virgin. You know what I mean?
that's what an incel puts on the resume.
And what? What's the tone? It's a 36-year-old virgin made national news. I'll tell you the answer because it's completely impossible.
This is great.
The FDA threatened to fine and jail him for his DIY sperm bank after it was revealed that he fathered 15 children.
So it was for donating too much sperm.
He donated too much sperm, but he was a virgin at the time. That was his whole thing.
Oh,
he was like, I'm not going to waste it.
Wow.
Just telling you, that was the thing.
Cool.
Again, the show is Mrs. Davis.
All this and more.
Richard Branson shut down a satellite launch startup this week. What was it called?
Virgin Galactic.
It was Virgin Orbit. But no, give it to him. Give him the check.
On.
We're giving
right.
it to you.
Virgin, thanks.
What
guys.
Inventor? What inventor, best known for his contribution to the development of the modern alternating current electricity system, is believed to have been a virgin at the time of his passing in 1943. But he did say of his pet pigeon, "I loved that pigeon as a man loves a woman, and she loved me. As long as I had her, there was purpose to my life."
To Nikola Tesla?
It is. You got it. If I'm ordering a virgin cocktail, which I absolutely am not, I might order myself a Roy Rogers. Jake, what is a Roy Rogers?
Oh, God. What's in a Roy Rogers?
It's cola,
uh-huh.
A maraschino cherry, and this
and
syrup.
Simple.
It's grenadine.
Grenadine.
Which is a truly disgusting
beer. Really?
It's a disgusting.
Generous.
Could you imagine having a Coca-Cola and being, what could make this sweeter?
Mm,
that's a wild beverage.
Yeah, yeah.
Have the alcohol.
Yeah, Roy Rogers.
Give the kids alcohol. Better than a Roy Rogers.
Shirley Temple's no alcohol too, right?
Yeah, Shirley Temple, the ginger ale with grenadine.
Yeah, yeah.
An insane beverage.
Yeah, crazy, crazy.
According to some Catholic teachings, St. Lucy was a virgin martyr who removed what part of her body to discourage an admiring suitor, only for God to restore said body part after her death?
Eyeballs.
Honestly, I really appreciate the help. Was it eyeballs?
Yes.
Okay, good.
It's why she's the patron saint of eye illnesses. That's a little fun
Mrs.
fact.
Mrs. Davis.
It's Mrs. Davis.
Mrs. Davis,
okay. And where can you watch it?
We can watch it on Peacock.
It's on Peacock.
Yeah.
They'll let you watch the first one for free. But like a drug dealer outside of school, that's how they get you.
Mm-hmm.
Peacock. It's like a drug dealer outside of a school.
It's the after-school special of streamers.
Yeah. For some reason, virginity pledges were a huge thing in the aughts. I'm going to read you a list of celebrities who were famous in the 2000s. Which one of these people did not publicly declare themselves a virgin?
Okay.
Or maybe they all did.
Oh, God. Okay.
Britney Spears, the Jonas Brothers, Selena Gomez, Miley Cyrus, Tim Tebow, Jessica Simpson.
Was it? I feel like they all said
they all did. You
yeah,
got
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
And finally, what was the penalty for Vestal virgins who were found to have fucked?
Were they burnt at the stake?
So close. Ugh. Buried alive.
Wow.
Buried alive. Buried alive.
God, I'd probably opt for burnt at the stake.
No.
You know?
I don't think so.
Buried alive?
Yeah.
No. I mean, they both suck. Let's be honest.
Yeah, we're not fans of either.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, both are bad options, but...
Peacock. But,
yeah.
We're not fan of being buried alive or being burnt alive.
No, and exactly.
There's actually, in the opening episode
there is,
of
yeah.
Mrs. Davis,
yes.
There is the burning of heretics at the stake.
That's why I said that. I was trying to promote the show.
And that's what this did.
That's exactly what this did, man.
Jake will be back for the rant wheel. Thank you so much for being here. This was
Thanks,
fun.
Man.
Everybody, go watch Mrs. Davis. It is really genuinely excellent.
Check it out.
And you're really great. You're
Thanks,
really awesome.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
At the time, me calling a streamer a drug dealer outside of a school was disparagement, but now it's pro-labor. Time is so funny in that way. Want to know who else is funny? Paula Poundstone. We asked her to come on and do a one-minute little joke as Leslie Stahl, and it became 11 minutes of us just chatting.
Like you, I too was thrown off when I saw 60 Minutes was profiling, of all people, Marjorie Taylor Greene. What could we possibly learn by exploring the inner life of this awful person? We already know she does CrossFit. Plus her political opinions? Even worse. However, I reassured myself that this is 60 Minutes. MTG is gonna get the business. Tick, 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 tick. Unfortunately, while our interviewer Leslie Stahl pushed back at various points of the interview, there was this moment.
Democrats support, even Joe Biden, the president himself, supports children being sexualized and having transgender surgeries. Sexualizing children is what pedophiles do to children. Wow.
And the segment dared to ask this question.
The question for her and the country is, can she expand her brash MTG brand beyond the right-wing populist base?
Is that the question? No. Is that the question, Leslie? Are you sure about that? Are you sure about that's why? And of course, Green smeared Democrats as pedophiles. That's what she does. That's like hiring Scarlett Johansson to be in your movie. And when she hands in a flat, aloof performance, you get upset because you can't tell if it's magical or nothing. That's what you signed up for. Was that amazing and real? Or was it nothing? None of us knows. Well, we have some news. We here at Love It or Leave It have unearthed several previous interviews Leslie Stahl gave, archival transcripts few knew about, that relate to the very holiday of Pesach that we mark this evening. Here to help us reenact them, in a segment we're calling Love It or Leave It Presents Leslie Stahl Theater, playing the newsmaker herself, it's the incredible Paula Poundstone. It's so nice to have you on the show.
It's lovely to be here. It's also unexpected. I drove basically to another country. I live in Santa Monica, so it was unbelievable getting here. And my GPS, I would come to like a freeway, and the GPS would suggest that I just drive across it. Just no light, no nothing. Just go. It was traumatic. And then the parking garage.
Talk to me. Yeah, what happened?
Well, the parking garage had the reserved spaces. The signs are in yellow. Okay, so I don't see that well to begin with, which is not a good thing to suggest when I'm driving here. But, and so I would pull into the space and realize, well, fuck, there's a yellow goddamn reserve sign there. You would put it in a different color, don't you think? A contrasting color. It was like whispering. 4 times I pulled into spaces. 4 times, and I don't back up that well. So every time I'm like, motherfucker, it's another yellow reserve sign. You know, if it's your space, by God, put your fucking name on it in big letters.
I gotta tell you something. This is a dream come true for me. This is awesome.
Oh my God.
We don't even have to, you wanna just talk? What's up?
Yeah.
What else is happening with you?
Well, I did, you know, because they sent me the Marjorie Taylor Greene interview. I'd heard people talking about it. I have to say, it wasn't as bad as I actually expected it to be.
Yeah, there's some nuance to it. I said that she pushed back at times.
Yeah, not a lot. And I'm not sure that eye rolling works with Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yikes is not going to work on this woman. Yikes doesn't work with fascism. You know what I mean? You need a more powerful weapon than a yikes.
You know, I'm not sure about that. I just listened to a book about Mussolini.
Anything you remember from it?
Well, yes, yikes was a powerful deterrent.
Yeah, that was it was Rommel's weakness. He couldn't figure out what to do with a yikes
could not take,
from Patton.
Oh, I'll tell you something. Stalin, give him a ye gods out of there.
Yeah.
Here's what I remember about Mussolini. It said that, so he was killed in the end by the partisans, I believe, turned on him or something. And he was held captive in a hotel for a little while. And then they put him in a truck one day with, I think, three other captives. And they drove him to the top of a hill and they, you know, shot them. And then they took Mussolini back down to the town square and they hung his dead body. And the people were so angry with him that they beat the dead body with sticks and they put a dead mouse in his mouth. I just thought that was an interesting detail.
Wasn't there also some dragging? Was there dragging involved by the legs?
I can't recall any longer. Okay, here's the other thing it said in the book. I have never heard anybody else say this, but I have not really talked about Mussolini to anybody but you.
And I'm glad that you feel safe enough to share.
I do.
Thank you for sharing this with me.
I do. This is a really developmental time for me. But at one point, they contacted his wife or girlfriend or whatever it was, and they asked her if she wanted it. And she said, I live in a small house. I don't know where I would put it. And apparently the Americans, I believe it was, somehow a little sliver of his brain came to America. Because they had it, they were looking at a sliver of his brain on a microscope slide. Mm-hmm. Which I just think is funny. What are you looking for? What are you looking for? Yeah. Like, oh, okay, asshole, yeah, yes.
There it is. There's your problem right there.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
brain was where it was at the problem.
Yeah, guy was a dick. Would you look at that? See, can't look before. Like, they can't take a slice.
No, famously.
Like, if your kid is having developmental problems or maybe acts out a lot, you can't just take a slice of their brain and go, wow, the kid's an asshole.
No, you gotta wait till the person's dead to look at the brain.
In
your hands, you can scan it. We got scannings, but then
oh,
not
I
back then.
Think about that.
Not with Mussolini back then. They weren't MRIing Mussolini. That didn't exist.
They didn't MRI.
You know what I'm realizing?
Mussolini.
You know, there's that famous discovery. Albert Einstein was famously said, "Hey, leave my brain alone," and then he died, and we're like, "You're dead. We're doing what we want."
Oh, did he say that? Did he say, "Leave my brain alone"?
I'm remembering a book I read so much longer ago than when you read the Mussolini book.
Yeah.
And as much as you're not confident in your Mussolini knowledge,
I'm even less confident. You don't feel on solid ground with your Einstein knowledge.
But here's my question. So when they looked at Albert Einstein's brain, they were hoping they were going to see, like, I don't know, extra stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like, wow, that's a brain right there. Right. Holy
yeah.
shit.
Yeah.
No,
right.
That's not what happened. It just looked like a normal human brain. It could have been anybody's brain. What if what we're dealing with here is the Mussolini brain and the Einstein brain got swapped.
Up. Got mixed up. Oh, yeah.
You know, a classic, like a Wacky Wednesday, like a Parent Trap situation.
Like no,
Freaky Friday.
Friday. You know what? You gotta be
Does
able...
Does anyone remember the book Wacky Wednesday?
There was no fucking Wacky Wednesday book. Why can't you just admit you're wrong?
I don't do that on stage.
All of a sudden, the whole crowd has to feel bad about their literacy.
Someone remembers Wacky Wednesday.
Shit, there was a Wacky
Wednesday. Wacky Wednesday exists.
There was no Wacky Wednesday.
Yes, it was. It was obviously a ridiculous grab to try to get some of that Freaky Friday money.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't the right thing to do to write Wacky Wednesday.
Yeah.
Steven, don't Google things. Pay attention.
Focus
on how we sound. I don't want you Googling while we're doing the show.
And he's Googling? And now I bet my voice doesn't sound right.
But they would exist, right?
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Oh, bullshit. Oh, who pays that guy?
I guess I do.
Okay.
All right, let's do it.
It's so nice to be with you.
This really is a dream come true for me. You know, I've been a fan
You've
of you.
You've got to aim much higher.
It is.
Aim higher.
No, I'm not gonna. This is it.
Whoa.
This is it for me. Come on.
Well, thank you. You know, Lovett was on my podcast.
I was.
And I had no idea you'd ever even heard of me before. You didn't say a word at the time.
Yes,
you didn't.
That is fucking,
no,
that's bullshit.
You were very like, you were like.
Yeah, smoking, famously.
Yeah, you were like, and he had like bodyguards with him and shit. He's like, he's like, how long do you need me for? I'll tell you what, we start at the top, we do a couple jokes, I'm out of here. How about that?
All right, for those listening at home, that wasn't me. That was Paul's impression of me.
No, that's exactly what he was like. And he was like, oh, you know, I got a couple of podcasts. I don't know why I'm doing this podcast. It's such a weird name, podcast, isn't it?
Yeah,
it just feels weird.
It really
comes. Like the word them. If you say it enough, it just feels weird.
Sure.
Them.
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 It's weird, isn't it?
Like, I guess.
Who came up with that, them?
I don't know. Probably. I don't think. I think it sort of evolved.
Yeah.
Probably from.
It used to be just
Yeah, it started with
Yeah.
A lot of them. Stuff. Yeah.
Them. Them.
Paula, right, thank you. But just reminding everybody, catching you up, because previously on Paula Poundstone on Love It or Leave It, this was a Leslie Stahl segment some time ago.
Yes.
The first interview we'd like to present, and I know this might seem implausible, is an interview Leslie Stahl did with the Pharaoh from the Book of Exodus, the actual Pharaoh from the Passover story. Paula, are you ready?
I am. Pharaoh, you've got some pretty radical views and a sharp tongue, but you've somehow managed to capture the national limelight, taking on the role of a half-human demigod who rules over your kingdom with an iron fist. Tell me, in the words of your political rival, who you've called a Bush arsonist, Moses, why won't you let my people go?
Let my people go? Sounds like your average Twitter troll in my mentions, Leslie. The answer to your question is simple. The Jewish people love their jobs. Building pyramids, as Jewish people famously kill it on the manual labor front. And while I don't pay them and hold them against their will, a lot of people are trying to cancel me because I'm a boss and no one wants to work anymore. Also, Moses is a pedophile.
Alrighty then.
Leslie Stahl, everyone.
All right.
I can. Paula Poundstone will be back. Paula Poundstone, come on, she'll be back.
Wow, I love Paula Poundstone, and by the time she came back for her second show, she even learned my name. A woman who still might not know my name, Lunell. Here's her second appearance, where we didn't even bother to come up with a segment because we knew some battles aren't worth fighting.
The last time she was on Love It or Leave It, we quizzed our next guest on the very specific details of last summer's celebrity jet scandal. Drake's flight times, flight length, specific quantities of carbon emissions produced by Taylor Swift's plane, the whole shebang. And our next guest really refused to embrace the premise of the segment and took over the show completely. So now we're just going to do whatever. Please welcome back to the show, Lunell. Come on. How you doing?
Good. Hi, everybody. No, it's me. I'm hi, everybody.
Hi.
Very.
When you were on this show last time, did you have any idea what it was?
No, I still don't really know what the fuck's going on.
Do you think that that's why you introduced yourself to me backstage?
Yeah, that's probably why. I forgot. It's been a while.
Okay, it meant a lot to me.
Well, clearly.
All right. Here's the deal.
Okay.
I just want to get your take on some stuff. I'm basically going to go until Malcolm or Brian says we have to stop.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay.
Oh, and this is a segment we're calling Show and Lunell. All right. What do you think about Taylor Swift potentially dating Matt Healy?
Who's Matt Healy?
He's the lead singer of a band called the 1975.
Okay, so he's nobody. What do I think about Taylor Swift dating a nobody?
Sure, if that's how you want to interpret the question.
I think that Taylor is always looking for love and inspiration in her songs. And that, you know, every breakup, she make $1 million after everybody should break up with, she make $1 million. She write a song about him. So I say, go, Taylor, do your thing, girl. Taylor Swift manages to be a slut but not look like one.
She's gonna get
she
me
looks
fucking
so
killed.
Innocent, but she be straight giving up that pussy though. Sorry, Taylor.
Should Google delete accounts that have been inactive for 2 years? Like Gmail and YouTube?
Yes. Makes more space for my OnlyFans pictures.
That's smart.
For $9.99, you can get your life changed, baby. And I'm having a clearance sale. Getting ready for my summer beach body nudes, you know?
It would definitely change my life.
Next.
Are you going to see the new Little Mermaid? Should Disney make these live-action remakes? And which one should they do next?
I absolutely, positively want to see the Little Mermaid, but due to my schedule and things, I don't really have a lot of time to go to the movie theater. And if I sit in the cold, dark room and have to be still, I'm going to sleep. And I don't want to go to sleep on the Little Mermaid. So if I get a chance to see it, I fully support it. I can't wait to see it. It looks beautiful. And what was the other question?
What other animated Disney movies would you want to see as live action?
Well, they already did Popeye. Maybe the Jetsons.
Sure.
Yeah? Maybe the motherfucking Jetsons have always been ahead of their time. That bitch had a maid, Rosie, the robot. Do you remember? Oh, how old are these motherfuckers? I don't know. Anyway, moving on, sorry.
No, I'm thinking about it.
Jetsons. They've already Jetsons. Done the Flintstones. They already did.
Remember
Papa.
The Flintstones with Rosie O'Donnell and John Goodman?
And Halle Berry.
And Halle Berry. All right, you now have to make a very important decision.
Okay.
You're the deciding vote. This has been a tie score on the internet all week.
I'm the deciding vote?
You're the deciding vote for our society.
Pressure, wait a minute.
You can handle it.
Okay, come on, bring it.
Who's hotter, young Al Pacino or young Robert De Niro? We have photos for your reference.
Oh,
wow.
Well, wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
Everybody, slow down. Give it a second.
Give it a goddamn second.
Oh.
Right.
Because Pacino got that swag, though. And when he was young, he was a straight thug, and I love that shit. And he's still a fucking boss, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And Al Pacino was a beast and a monster and so passionate. He was fine, too. Oh, shit, my nipples is getting hard talking about.
Hey, don't give
down,
that.
That's down, what, girl. Down.
Supposed to charge for that.
Oh, my God.
I don't
want to
give that away.
So I'm the determining factor?
Yeah, you got to decide.
Well, I'm going to have to just give it to the boss. I'm going to give it to De Niro.
Yeah.
I got to. Al Pacino followed in his footsteps. De Niro didn't follow in his.
Interesting.
Facts.
Interesting. Okay.
So I have to give it to the boss.
I want to see what the crowd thinks. All right. Don't
know. What the fuck you told me? I was determined to fuck. Fuck what they think. Do you want to know what they think? Not what you ask them. Shit.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend you.
No, I'm good. Go ahead. Let's see what they talk about.
All right.
About.
How many people say Pacino? How many people say De Niro?
But they both, I smash either one of them back then. Ooh, they could both get it.
What do you think about AI? You worried about it?
No.
Not at all?
No.
You don't think it's going to take all the jobs?
No. Robots will never be able to be barbers. They'll never be able to cut men's hair. You're going to always need a human to do that.
Sure, okay, that's a job. That's one job.
Yeah, but it's a job every motherfucking need, though.
It's a really good point. It's a really good point.
Okay. And funeral directors. Robots will never be able to do that.
Yeah, you need a person. That's a sensitive. You need a person in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to see a robot.
Brazilian wax technician. I don't want a robot doing that. I need him.
I think it's cool that you went to Brazilian wax technician before pilot.
Well, you asked me.
I know, I...
Shit. And pilots. Actually, pilots don't fly the plane now.
They just...
Facts. Did y'all know that? Did y'all know they'd be up there bullshitting and the plane be on cruise control? I fly all the time. I know all this shit.
I currently drive, hopefully for a limited time, a Tesla.
And it's cool. It drives itself on the highways. It doesn't barely hits anything. You know, it basically can recognize almost everything.
Almost.
And that's the cool thing about it.
What about the human form? Can it recognize that?
Most of the time. And that's all you need. What do you think happens when we die?
I hope to never find out.
That's cool.
No clue.
I thought I hoped you knew.
No, I don't know, baby.
Damn. I'll ask other people.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to open this up. You can ask Linnell one question.
Just
all right?
One?
Well, no.
Like all these motherfucking...
Well, a
oh, you mean
people.
One question per person.
Not, we're not going to go...
I'm like, one motherfucking question? Look at all these goddamn people. Yeah. Hi, everybody. Awesome. Let's go. What did they do? Raise their hand?
Hi, what's your name and what's your question?
Hi, my name is Emma, and my question is, you know it's your last meal. What are you eating?
Well, I'm not watching my weight or my blood pressure, so it's my last meal. Probably, I really love gumbo, if you know what gumbo is. Probably gumbo. It's a bacon on the side. And, like, you know, mashed potato. I mean, I'm finna die, right? So
yeah. Go, you have it all.
Yeah, I want some mashed potatoes and shit, and, you know, lobster, all kind of shit.
Nice.
What's yours, love it?
What is mine? God, is it just fast food? Am I that disgusting?
Come on, don't do that.
Is it like the last meal I'm going to get on this beautiful planet and all its bounty? And I'm like, oh, I guess a chalupa, but steak.
What,
which
what,
is more.
Not something like your grandma used to make or some of your mom. Yeah,
the thing
to.
Is, I could, you know, it's Jewish food. And so it's like no, I don't want a dried brisket before I say goodbye.
Latke.
I don't want a latke. I want French fries. Thank you for knowing my culture.
Yeah. Because I eat off the trucks in New York.
Oh, yeah. They got a
they
know,
got
New York
knish.
Yeah. A square, not a round. I don't like the round.
I don't give a fuck what shape it is. Actually, I like them. Full of carbs, kill you, but they're good.
Hi, what's your name and what is your question?
Hi, my name's Marcella. I'm going to follow the same format of the previous question. If you could teach a high school class for a day, what would you teach and what would you teach Gen Z?
Well, that's two different questions. If I could teach anything to any class of any age, it would be independence and self-worth and tolerance and humor. If I could teach Gen Z anything, it would probably be to shut the fuck up and do what the fuck I said. I would probably teach them that. And a little bit about respect, because you motherfuckers are just mad disrespectful, most of you, not all of you. No, it's really not funny. It's really fucked up. Because I just believe in, you know, you don't have the right to talk to older folk the way that some of y'all are talking to older folk. You don't have the right. It's your motherfucking parents fucking and put their foot in your ass. If you've been raised in my motherfucking house, I'd put my foot in your ass. You wouldn't be talking about nothing. Goddamn, beat your motherfucking ass. What the fuck I would do? Never would be the motherfucking type of shit.
Linnell, do you think that as I try to be, as a member of Gen Z, someone who is respectful, I try to put my best foot forward on behalf of my generation, Generation Z. As someone who was born and has no recollection of 9/11, I was taught about 9/11 when I was an older child, something that took place a long time ago. In the same way that, like, my friends went to law school and at the end of it, they have to, like, study for the bar and find out what the law actually is because they spent 3 years, like, learning about philosophical nonsense. I think it is crazy that you graduate high school in this country and then you find out what taxes are. They should teach about taxes.
Absolutely.
It's fucking nuts. The fact that you graduate and you
absolutely
have no idea how finance works,
absolutely,
that is some bullshit.
Yeah.
God damn it.
I agree with that. Now, we're on the same page with that.
Well, that's a great place to leave it.
It is.
Give it up for Lunell. She'll be back.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Wow, I wish I cared about this show as little as Lunell does, but unfortunately for me, I care a lot about the work I do. Did someone say work? Struggling with a question about work? If it's how to use Excel, you're on your own. If it's something stickier, we've got answers. Work Appropriate is a must-listen weekly podcast that delivers funny but useful workplace advice for a range of listener dilemmas, from how do I get my manager to stop texting me after hours, to what do I do when my company thinks our toxic culture can be fixed with Taco Tuesdays. The problems may be limitless, but so are the solutions. Listen to a new episode of Work Appropriate every Wednesday wherever you get your podcasts. Did you watch the first Republican debate? Were you horrified? Trump is a nightmare, but so is the right-wing clown car drafting behind him. That means one thing, we have work to do. Crooked is building a better progressive media company as a counterweight to all the right-wing noise, and Vote Save America is organizing on the ground for 2024 and beyond. You can support that work by subscribing to Friends of the Pod today at crooked.com/friends. Sign up. It's an incredible community. You get ad-free episodes of our pods, plus you get a bunch of other content that's really fun and some of our loosest, most absurd shows. Plus, you get to be part of the Discord, so check it out. And finally, if you enjoyed this next guest, buy tickets to our Atlanta show because she's coming back. We were less than 3 minutes into this segment before she threatened to eat me, and I still worry if that was a threat or a promise. It's Ms. Pat! Listen, has this been a serious show so far? A little bit. It's time for to get even more serious. No, it's not. Here to lie directly to our audience's faces, it's the incredibly funny, the phenomenal, your favorite comedian and mine, Ms. Pat! Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
How are you?
Just fine.
Welcome, welcome.
How y'all doing?
How you doing?
I think I said fine. I'm doing fine. How are you doing? I'm over 50, so I'm sleepy.
We're all sleepy. All right, so you're from Atlanta.
Yes, born and raised.
Who is your favorite politician in your hometown right now?
Stacey Abrams, but she keeps losing.
Yeah, it's tough. I know. It's tough. It's tough. We want her to win.
I wanted her to win, too, but it's something that's scaring Atlanta with that little afro she got. They won't vote for her.
You think that's what it is?
Laugh. That's, yeah, the afro scare white people when it's not moist. So if she would put a little more grease in it, the white people feel a little safer.
Where the fuck were you in October? What are we supposed to do now? Great advice. It's too fucking late. Everybody's trying to help her win.
I voted for her.
That's not enough. It didn't work. She lost by more than one vote.
Well, she know to comb her fucking hair.
I'm just saying.
You act like I made her lose. I wear a wig. Thank you to the person in the middle. Everybody else think I'm being rude and shit. I'm like, you can't be no big old black lady with no small afro. You gotta balance the shit out. See? Don't you see me with hair on my head because I'm a big ass black woman.
I want you to know something.
What?
I'm not gonna comment on any of this. I'm not gonna say a fucking thing.
You better not, goddamn it. I will eat your little white ass. It's been a long time since I ate a white man. But I gotta say, y'all tip well. I just sold you pussy and you didn't even catch it.
Now, Miss Pat is an incredible storyteller.
That wasn't no story, that was the truth.
I know. I'm just trying to transition out.
Okay.
Without so much as hinting at a comment of what you'd been saying.
Okay.
For my own safety. It's so good, in fact, it's actually nearly impossible to know where her real life ends and the bit begins. So we're going to need a volunteer to play a game we're calling Two Truths and a Lie. With Miss Pat. All right, here's how it works. I'm going to read three log lines of stories. Two are real stories from Miss Pat's life. And one is one we made up. If you correctly guess which one is false, you get to ask Miss Pat to tell the story of your choosing. She won't listen. You can tell whatever fucking story you want. That's the beauty of it. It's barely a game at all.
Okay.
Hi, what's your name?
Vicky.
Vicky? Yeah. All right.
Here are three entirely true things about Miss Pat. You have to choose which one you think is the lie, all right?
Okay.
Miss Pat was attacked by an escaped cougar, kicked out of her coupon club, hit by a dumb truck. Where's the lie?
The coupon club.
How did you know? You watched the show?
I just guessed, but I didn't watch the show.
That's false. That happened.
That happened.
So you got it wrong. What the hell? Come on, Malcolm. So you were kicked out of your coupon club and hit by a dump truck, presumably on different days. Well, one really bad Wednesday.
The dump truck come from me losing my nipple in a drive-by. So the coupon, I moved to Indiana, a place called Plainfield, Indiana, and I wanted to fit in. Very conservative little white neighborhood, great neighbors. I was there for 15 years, and so I wanted something to do and my career wasn't taking off, so I tried to join a coupon club. I'm a black woman from the inner city of Atlanta, and we don't do all coupons like white women. They're serious about this shit. They keep their stuff like birth certificates. And so they had, you know, you had to have a booklet and it all lined up and you went to the store on that day. Well, I'm an ex-drug dealer, so I ball mine up like dope money and put a rubber band around it.
Do you put the biggest coupons on the outside?
And I stuff it in my titty.
Okay.
And they told me I had to go. They said I wasn't organized.
That's horse shit.
We was just there to buy Tide and laundry detergent. I don't know why you got to be organized for that.
And you were hit by a dump truck.
I jumped on top of my kid's father's truck, and he said he didn't see me. I jumped over an overpass because he was cheating. He had a woman in the car. So he drugged me, and I'm on the side. Hey, I love you. But he said he didn't see me.
Love will make you do crazy things.
Love made me do a lot of crazy things.
Was it interstate or... He was local, a street, it was a surface street.
I was walking over a bridge and I looked down and he had a woman in the car. So I'm young and I'm thinking I'm Spider-Man or Wonder Woman. And I jumped on that damn hood. I landed on the hood and I was like, bitch, you're cheating. And he took off.
Well, I got to say, you know, in fairness to him, you really don't expect to get caught that way. You know? You may not think you're going to get away with it, but when you're on the highway, you think you're safe. You know?
And here come this big black woman flying like a kite.
Did you just land on the windshield? That's cool. What was the best case scenario for you when you were, like, what did you want to happen? Like, what's the goal? When you throw yourself over the overpass, you're coming down, you land on the hood of the car, you see him, you see her. What do you want to happen? What's the best outcome for you?
I want that bitch to get out the car.
That's cool. That's cool. That's cool.
What, you think I was there for a ride?
I don't... I don't know what you wanted. I'm asking
you don't
a
know how to cheat, do you?
No. No, oh, I don't. Too anxious. Too anxious.
I guess he thought I was going to valet the truck. I'm here to park your car, sir.
All right, who wants to go next? Hi, what's your name?
Alice.
Alice.
Hey, Alice.
Here are three truths, but one's a lie. She met Jimmy Kimmel at Norman Lear's 100th birthday party. She met Jimmy Buffett at divorce court. She met Jimmy Carter at a McDonald's.
The first one.
You think the first one's false?
Yes.
No, it's true. You're wrong.
Damn.
I'm very interested to understand how you met Jimmy Carter at a McDonald's.
I used to work at McDonald's because I was a convicted felon and I was getting my life back together. Thank you for laughing. Because I used to sell crack. So, so I'm working at this McDonald's. I'm on parole. I'm getting my life back together. But I'm doing what everybody else do. You know, back I'm 50. So back in those days, McDonald's paid $3.75 an hour. You can't live off that. So everybody had a turn of stealing out of the register, and it was my register day to steal. So I'm stealing out the register, and in walked these white dudes with plugs in their ears. And they was like, and they looking around, like, oh, my God, they caught me stealing. I'm going, my parole officer is somewhere. This is a true story. I hear him say, it's clear, and in walked President Jimmy Carter. But I'm a hood rat. I didn't recognize him. And so he get to the register, and I'm like, he look familiar. He probably 60 at a time, pants jacked up, nutsack hanging on one side.
Yep.
And so I look at him, and I said, why he look familiar? And the boy on the grill run up to the race and say, Patricia, that's the president of the United States, Jimmy Carter. And my dumb ass said, nigga, I told you I knew you. And he said nothing. He placed his order. I'll never forget. He ordered a water, a cup of water, a cheeseburger, and a side salad. And then I go in and say, enrich your shit. It's free. You the president. And I'm glad he didn't give me no money that day because I was stealing. And I would hate to have keep his money.
Side salad and a burger.
And a water, a cup of water.
That's a fucked up, shitty order for McDonald's. That's not how you go to McDonald's. That's not how you get it done at McDonald's.
I mean, that's not how you bring Secret Service into McDonald's and scare the hell out of me because I was stealing.
Side salad and a burger. No fries?
No fries. It was a water.
That's why I only got the one term. If you want to win two terms in this country, you got to get fries.
I think he was too nice.
Too nice for fries?
Second term.
That's a good point. All right, last one. Somebody else have Betsy right here in the front. Raise your hand.
Hi, John.
Hi, Betsy. Betsy comes every week.
Hey, Betsy.
Hi.
Keep coming.
Which of the following isn't true? Bill Clinton inadvertently started Miss Pat's career. President Barack Obama got Miss Pat's car towed. Ronald Reagan killed Miss Pat's dog.
Shit. C?
No. No one got it. The stories are too unbelievable. Let's start with this. So Bill Clinton inadvertently started your career.
Yeah, I voted for Bill Clinton because he was cute. And he created a program called the Welfare to Work Program for lazy bitches like me. So I had to go get a job. And I hated Bill Clinton after that. Because I couldn't watch The Young and the Restless anymore. And so I get a job, and I became a medical assistant. That's how I got my GED. I wouldn't have never gotten it had he not paid me $500 to take the test.
That's cool.
Yeah, that was very cool.
Bill Clinton, all of your heroes. Now, I find it hard to believe that Ronald Reagan killed your dog.
Ronald Reagan actually killed my dog.
Fuck.
So I never forget, it was the second term, and me and my dog was sitting there listening to the radio. I'm not lying. He was on the back porch. I had the window up, and it was raining. We were so poor. And I was just like, anybody but Ronald Reagan so I can get better lunch at school. And the radio said, your new president is Ronald Reagan. And my dog jumped out the back porch and hung himself. And I was like, no, Papa.
What do you? I was like, what do you mean?
Democrats don't kill themselves. Republicans do. Don't do that. And my dog was like, "Fuck y'all! I'm out of here. Y'all can't buy no dog food. I'm tired of eating pig feet with y'all." And my dog he jumped out the back porch.
What?
He said, what?
Just jumped out. That was it.
He was an old German Shepherd with no side teeth, and he was. He had it, so he just jumped out the back porch. So when it stopped raining, I went out there and got him. I was like, dang, Papa, you should have took me with you. But I like you.
Yeah.
You know, he black, so y'all scared to laugh because y'all white. But he over here acting like he had a black family reunion. He in the flow. He was like, this kind of blackness ain't never been on this show. He's screaming. Y'all scared to laugh, but you know what I've been through, brother. Yeah. And I never owned another dog. I just got a dog. My husband just bought a dog. And that's been over. I'm 50, so that had to be over like 35, 40 years. So my husband went out and bought 3 Cane Corsos, and they all look like my real daddy in the face.
Just sort of scrunched up.
My daddy looked like a hound dog.
Sort of a scrunchy face. My daddy
looked just like these dogs. He dead, so we can laugh.
Yeah, we can laugh. The season 3 of the Miss Pat Show is now on BET+.
It's out, the third season.
Miss Pat, this was a delight. Thank you so much for being here.
I was so worried about this podcast because they said you do political stuff, and I'm like, I just vote and mind my business. I don't want to get into these fights. You know, I got some Trump friends. And only because my neighbor built really good fences. He was a Trump supporter, and I was not letting that go out of my life. I know how to pick my batters.
Yeah, yeah. Great fences make great neighbors.
They do, and I listened to all that Trump stuff as he was putting them poles in the ground. I was like, way to go.
Miss Pat, everybody. She'll be back for the rant wheel. My most interesting story is an order of magnitude more boring than Miss Pat's least interesting story. And speaking of stories that might be boring and might be interesting, here it is, the high note.
Hey, John. This is Chris calling from Taylor, Michigan. I am a very proud Michigander with Gretchen Whitmer as my governor. I live in a pretty conservative town, and I get kind of down and just disappointed seeing some of the flags that are still up, or like the bumper stickers, or like some of the things that people put around, just because my town is a little bit more Republican heavy. But my high note is just everything that my governor has done, Gretchen Whitmer, or as we call her, Big Gretch. Her Michigan budget is including lower cost, historic education for kids, so many investments in improved health care for moms, dads, access to more public safety, housing, free breakfast. And as you can hear, that's my daughter in the back seat, and it just makes me so happy and optimistic to know that we mobilized over these midterms and we got Democrats in the House and the Senate, and we're being led by Big Gretch herself. So my high note is, even though I live in a pretty Republican town, I just love listening to your podcast. That we have such a wonderful governor, and that's just a high note. And even like looking at Gretchen Whitmer nationally, she's just such an amazing person, and even wrestling with Trump during the coronavirus pandemic. But enough rambling. I stand with that woman from Michigan, and I will always stand. And I love your show. I love you. And I want to give a shout out to my friend Tommy New, who is your show, and my brother Dan. So shout out to you, Tommy, and shout out to you, Dan. Love
ya. Hey, John. This is John calling from San Diego. My high note of the week is, thanks to the Biden administration, after 25 years in the business and 10 years of working for nonprofits as a theater production manager, my student loans were forgiven under the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program. Woohoo! I'm tickled pink. Thank you, John, for all you do. Love listening to you every week.
Hi, Love It. This is Kristen in Sacramento, and I'm thrilled to share that after 4 long years of litigation, appeals, and a review by the California Supreme Court, my harassment lawsuit against a former employer was finally settled. Every independent contractor and gig economy worker deserves to be protected from harassment and discrimination in the workplace. So let's pass legal protections in every state. Thanks, Love It.
Hi, Love It. My name's Kieran. I live in Portland, Oregon, and my high note this week is that I'm alive right now. I was hit by a car yesterday afternoon, and I came through it miraculously, not terribly injured, but I am laying down in my living room with a concussion, and I was just listening to your show from this week and laughing so hard my ribs hurt, which was kind of a bummer, but overall, really a joy to be able to listen to you and your guests and to laugh about the state of the world in a moment when I just really needed a laugh. So thank you for what you do, and I'm really excited to see you when you come to Portland.
Thanks to everybody who called in with a high note. If you want to leave us a message about something that gave you hope, call us at 323-538-2377. And that is our show. Thank you so much to Abby McEnity, Jake McDorman, Paula Poundstone, Lunell, and Miss Pat. There are 437 days until the 2024 elections. We'll be dark next week, back after Labor Day. Also, a big thanks to the team that makes this show. Every day is Labor Day when you labor for me every day. Have a great weekend, everybody. Love It or Leave It is a Crooked Media production. It is written and produced by me, John Lovett, and Lee Eisenberg. Kendra James is our executive producer. Brian Semmel is our producer. And Malcolm Whitfield is our associate producer. Howie Keeper is our head writer. Sarah Lazarus, Jocelyn Kaufman, Pulavi Ganalan, Peter Miller, Rebecca Kaplan, Alan Pierre, and Chandler Dean are our writers. Evan Sutton is our editor. Stephen Colon is our audio engineer. And Kyle Seglin provides audio support. Our theme song is written and performed by Shersher. Thanks to our designer, Jesse McLean, for creating and running all of our visuals, which you can't see because this is a podcast, and to our digital producers, Zuri Irvin, David Tolles, Mia Kelman, and Matt DeGroot, for filming and editing video each week so you can. You can find those glorious videos at www.youtube.com/@loveitorleaveitpodcast. That's the best we can do, I guess. Subscribe to Love It or Leave It on YouTube for access to video versions of your favorite segments and other exclusive content. Don't forget to follow us at Crooked Media on IG and Twitter. And if you're as opinionated as we are, consider dropping us a review.